Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back, 260-1870, or text 870-870. We'll continue using that number in the meantime. But coming up on Monday, we're going to be transforming all of that. It'll be 504-260-1870 to either call into the show or to text the show. So you have the convenience of one single number that you can put in that little Rolodex in your phone and take care of all of that business. Joining us on the line, Richard Zuschlag, CEO of the Acadian Ambulance Company. Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Newell. Good to hear from you this morning.
Richard, want to thank you guys again, y'all, you and your folks being there on the front line dealing with this pandemic. And because you see a lot of what's happening out in our communities first as a first responder, you're in a great position to be able to report out what you see as troubling trends. And you wrote a piece the other day identifying some. So tell us about that.
You know, what kind of alarmed us in the last several weeks is the fact that when the hospital started opening back up, we noticed that a lot of the 911 emergency patients that were conscious, I should say, were very afraid to be transported to a hospital. In other words, somebody passes out at the house and the neighbor or relative calls 911 and we respond, and they should go get further evaluated at a hospital emergency room. We're having many of them decline to do that, and unfortunately, there's been a few mishaps where in several days after that incident, the patient has died. So we're making a full effort to try to convince the patients to go to the hospital emergency room, because all these hospitals in the state have worked very, very hard to make sure that they have segmented their populations within the hospital. So the chances of a patient coming into an emergency room to be mixed up with a COVID patient is much less than what it was, let's say, 2 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, most of the hospitals have kind of re-engineered themselves, created more negative air pressure rooms, so they're not sharing the ventilated air within the facility with other parts of the hospital in order to prevent the spread of the infection, and they're in a much better position, you have to admit, today than they may have been 3 months ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah, and we serve about 75% of the state of Louisiana. So out of the 1,100 transports a day, about 50% of those, or roughly 550, come through the 911 system. You normally will have people in traffic accidents that decide, well, we don't want to go to the hospital. We're going to go see our family doctor later this afternoon, and we can deal with that. But when you go out to the residents for a call, and you have these elderly people that are confused, or they're dizzy, or they've passed out and they've just come to, most of the times in the past, we've been able to coach them to go to the emergency room, and they're really giving us a more difficult time. So we've been trying to get all of our medics geared up to practice trying to get them to the next higher level of care to be sure that the patient is taken care of, because it disturbs us if they need care and they won't go. And so we're trying to educate them the best way we can to make sure that they're taken care of, because we hate to see people make a bad decision and then not be alive 2 or 3 days later.
Richard Zuschlag, CEO of Acadian Ambulance, you should be commended for coming forward, and I'll tell you why. We hear all of these stories on the news outlets all the time, and we're not we don't always get a chance to talk to somebody that's seeing it, that's experiencing it, that's understanding it like your organization does. And I think a lot of people just kind of whistle past the graveyard here, so to speak, and they're not even paying attention about the safety protocols and the safety of going to the hospital and the downside implications of not managing your own health conditions, your underlying health issues, your comorbidity issues, real time. Because once you get, much like COVID, once you get on that downward spiral and slide, as you well know, it's hard to get you back up, right?
It sure is. You know, just from my own experience, I'm 72 years old now, and probably about 12 to 14 years ago, I had an episode with my heart, since I've had some stents put in it, but the ambulance showed up at my house, and I can't explain why owning the ambulance service or starting the ambulance service and being part owner of it now, I didn't want to go to the hospital. And the medic had a hard time, and finally he told me that my medical director was coming to the house to give me an injection to kind of force me to go, and that I had to go over to the hospital right away. And I'm glad I did, because I stayed in for a couple of days and got a couple of stents. So I, as I got older, even knowing the ambulance company, was reluctant to go back then. So I think when people get older, it doesn't take much for them to be reluctant to want to go to the hospital. It makes people nervous as to what might be wrong with them. But particularly now with the COVID disease, I just think there's a lot of hype. And I think that people need to realize that the hospitals have reorganized. We're very comfortable taking our patients to the hospital emergency rooms. They've gone out of their way to almost overdo it, and we're trying to keep up with that right now. So people need to be aware that it's safe to return to the hospital, whether it's through the 911 system or just for any normal treatments that they've put off over the last 3 or 4 months. That can also come back to haunt them later on.
And I'm not saying this to minimize COVID-19, but this is a good indication that, you know, fear is a motivator. And in some respect, we may have done too good of a job of placing fear out there. So it's kind of, in some way, backfiring on us just a little bit, right?
You know, it's very difficult to figure this all out. And when will the vaccine come? And when can we get back to more of the old normal life? It's a very big challenge for all of us. I have noticed, though, in the last 2 weeks since the state has begun to reopen up, that there is a lot more traffic. There are many more automobile accidents. There are more 911 calls. So we are seeing an uptick of our emergency calls. They were down probably 40% at one time, and they've recovered probably, we're down probably now 12 to 15%. So we've seen an improvement there. But still on the non-emergency side, the convalescent ones that are not able to walk to get back and forth to the hospital for procedures, that volume is still down substantially. And it may take a while for the patients to get their appointments at the hospital, but I think that'll start picking up in the next, I hope, couple of months. When you look across the whole state, we actually see a decrease in transport of COVID patients in the southern part of the state, but we have noticed some uptick up in the north east part of the state in the Monroe area. So I do think the disease does move from one area to another, and I'm just hoping it doesn't come back in around again this fall. I hope it's gone for good from Louisiana.
Richard, I know early on a lot of the folks in the first responder community were having trouble and getting the necessary PPE equipment. Have you seen in your industry and talking to your peers around the country, has that improved significantly?
It has improved, except for the testing. When I talked to fire chiefs and other public ambulance services across the nation, this was the biggest mess you could ever imagine of not being able to get the proper equipment to protect the medics out in the field. And I may have shared this with you before, but I'm so proud of Dr. Chuck Purnell and what he did to equip some 2,800 medics with the masks that painters use to spray paint. Those masks are a lot more expensive. They look like you're an astronaut, and they're kind of difficult to wear in the heat, but they protected the medics when nothing else was available. And Dr. Purnell used his credit card and sent about 150 emails to all his top people in the four-state area, and they went to Home Depot and Lowe's and hardware stores and paint departments and bought 5 masks here and 20 masks there and 50 masks over there. And we ended up in 4 days with 2,800 of them. And that's what got us through the disaster of being able to transport all those patients in those first weeks.
And for those of you that don't know, Dr. Charles Burnell is the chief medical officer for the Acadian Ambulance Company. And you got to be innovative in times of need like this and in times of stress and in an emergency situation. And as I always say, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
I'm very proud of what he and his entire staff has done to maintain a safety net around our first responders, our medics. We have been very blessed not to lose one in this disease. We did have several become ill, but they recovered, and I'm just the way they organized the whole safety net for not just the employees but the patients. He stayed up hours and hours with his colleagues making sure that was all done properly. And we're one of the few EMS services that has been able to succeed in that endeavor. So I'm very proud of our organization. They all worked very, very hard together. And our brothers and sisters in the law enforcement and fire services have really worked closely with us, too. And all of us as one team, I think that we've done well. The first responders should be very proud of what they've accomplished for our state.
The takeaway for today is you cannot fear going to the hospital because of COVID-19 if you have some other underlying condition, comorbidity, issue that you got to deal with. You got to deal with that, because if not, it's only going to get worse. And that's what Richard Zuschlag and his organization, the Acadian Ambulance Company, is seeing. We appreciate your time, Richard. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, and have a great day, Norm.
You too. Richard Zuschlag, CEO, Acadian Ambulance. Got to heed that advice. We've been hearing about it. It was nice to get someone that's hearing it from frontline folks, the difficulties they're having to sell the notion that going to the hospital is the best thing for them at this point in time. We will be right back, 260-1870 or text 870-870. This is Newell on WWL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.